It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe Thanksgiving has now come and gone. 2020, I know that a lot of us can't wait for 2020 to end, but I think we're learning to manage with COVID-19. Obviously, the elections are passed. A big shout out to my running friends for two road races, both held at Delta Dental Stadium on Thanksgiving morning. There was a 5K held right at the stadium, and then on the 21st, the only Jingle Bell Run for Arthritis in the entire United States that was held in person, November 21st. That was at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium as well. But this weekend with me is Leslie Nolan, who is the leader of Canterbury Shaker Village, and we've had Leslie on before, and she began her journey here just as she had to pivot a little bit with COVID-19. Leslie, thank you for joining me. Tell us,
Hi, Tom. Tell us how
this first year, I don't know why I'm chuckling a little bit, but tell us how this first year has been for you.
Yeah, it's been something for everyone, hasn't it? And you know, it's good to be here again and speak with you. When I started in February, it just could never have predicted how this the past 7-8 months have transpired. And we're all in this together, and I'm hoping it clears up real soon, like all of us. But here at the Village, we have been, despite COVID and this global pandemic, we have been really very busy and offering an array of outdoor activities this past summer and early fall, too.
So tell us how, so like you said, you started just when, you know, March 16th is kind of like the day that for me it's like, oh, that's when it's sort of the egg hit the fan. So you started right before that. And so tell us some of the things that you did as a board and as your management team to pivot, respecting employee safety, visitor safety, the governor's task force guidelines, et cetera. Tell us how you, you know, kind of managed all that and still had a pretty good summer.
Yeah, good question. You know, I got here really February, I think it was February 3rd, Monday, February 3rd. And as soon as I came, our fiscal year is April 1st through March 31st. And so I had been working with the interim director, Maggie Spear, on a budget for the March board meeting. And we got that underway, and no sooner had it been passed than we had to pivot, as you say, and with COVID upon us, and we had to rework an entirely new budget. In the interim, in March, in early March, I had hired a new bookkeeper, Jackie, and we worked very closely to address what we anticipated the new budget, where the new budget would lead us. We did think at that time in March that we would be able to be open in February, and alas, we were not. Our buildings, you know, we have 30 historic buildings, and we found that the openings for them, even the doorways to have big groups of people enter, would just not be feasible with COVID. And alas, all of our weddings were canceled that were scheduled, all of our bus tours. And of course, even if we had been open, what I was finding from my colleagues at other New Hampshire cultural organizations was that they were at about 20% capacity. So all around, it was a challenge.
Well, what a way to start, but you managed, and I know that people are still allowed to, you know, visit the grounds and walk the many trails and paths. So, empirically, when you this summer, did you see a lot of people, you know, walking the trails and paths?
You know, we did. One of the first things we did, Tom, because I really think it's kind of a foundational support necessity issue, is we got up a new website, and that was the end of June, early July, and it's actually still a work in progress. There's still more editing and additions to be made, but I think it's more accessible, and what we wanted to emphasize was that our great outdoors 700 acres with trails were open and free and available from sunrise to sunset. And another thing that we did was we placed two kiosks out just in the front. One of the metal all-weather kiosks holds maps, village maps, so that are free, so that anyone coming can lift the lid, take a map, and it lists all 30 buildings in a map format, and it kind of describes a little bit of the history and what it was used for each building. And then, of course, we have the donation box right next to it, which has been very important.
Of course. And speaking of that, we'll give out the website. It's shakers.org, actually pretty simple, shakers.org. And if I want to become a member, what's the process?
Thanks for asking it. We really rely, I think everyone in New Hampshire should be a member, in New England. This is a jewel in the crown of New England, of our country's heritage. It's just one of the most beautiful, breathtaking vistas I've ever seen. To become a member, just go to the website under the support icon, and you'll see a membership page, and you can become a member directly online. And we really do value our members. Our store is now open Saturdays and Sundays, and we're getting new items every day. We have a new store manager, and it's only open Saturdays and Sundays, but we are hoping to expand that. And we're also hoping to expand our online presence of the store. But everything in the store is USA made, American made, much of it handmade, and much of it coming from New Hampshire artisans. We have a lot of new offerings.
That's awesome. And you are correct. It is definitely a New Hampshire jewel, and people don't realize. I mean, it's easily only 20 minutes from Concord, easy to get to. A lot of my running friends, of course, this year we did not have the Shaker Village, 5K trail race because of COVID.
Right.
But I know when we've had that, over the, except for this year, the last 12 or 13 years, people are amazed with how beautiful it is, one, and two, how quickly you can go from Concord and jump on 106, and before you know it, you're in the middle of this beautiful Camelot is all I can describe it. It's absolutely fantastic.
You're right. I often tell people I was either fortunate or unfortunate as a child to grow up overseas, and so I did end up traveling quite a bit, and I do feel fortunate for having been exposed to many different sites in Asia and Europe and even South America. But I have to tell you, when I came here, my first reaction was, how did I never see this before? It truly is. The Shakers wanted to have heaven on earth, and this is a little slice of heaven on earth for sure.
That's the best way you can describe it, and it's just, phenomenal. And they were also ahead of their times in many ways, and I think after the commercial break, maybe you can explain that. But one of the things, for example, is they were one of the first places in New Hampshire that actually had a dental chair, as an example, but they were innovative and in so many other ways as well. And so I just think I'm so glad that you're into it and that you understand the importance of your mission, which is Canterbury Shaker Village is dedicated to preserving the 200-year legacy of the Canterbury Shakers and to providing a place for learning, reflection, and renewal. So after commercial break, let's talk about questions that I know I was asked to make sure to ask Leslie about. Did the Shakers celebrate Thanksgiving as well as the upcoming Shaker Village holiday celebrations, December 9th through the 20th? And then we'll explore those two questions and go from there. So the website, again, is shakers.org. As you heard, we could use members. And if you haven't been out there, it's worth the drive. It's a relatively short drive to go from Concord to end up in, you know, paradise on earth. So I'll return with Leslie Nolan, who leads the Shaker Village, Canterbury Shaker Village, and has been here less than a year, and I'm sure Leslie's thinking, she feels like she's been here like 10 years already, but she's doing great. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Just want to give out a big shout out to some of my prior week guests, in particular Mike Ramshaw, who's the president and general manager of the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, another jewel that we have in New Hampshire, and we were able to pull off a virtual Granite State baseball dinner, which raises hundreds of thousands of dollars for Dartmouth Hitchcock. So we were able to pull that off on November 21st. We had a race for Jingle Bell Arthritis in the morning at Delta Dental Stadium, and then later that night we did the Granite State baseball dinner. So it's great that the New Hampshire Fisher Cats have continued their community outreach. And with me, speaking of community outreach, is Leslie Nolan, who is the leader of Canterbury Shaker Village. So the website, again, is www.shakers.org, and I want people to become members. I want people to go and visit. But here are the questions out of curiosity. Did the Shakers celebrate Thanksgiving? Here's a question. That's a question I get, so I want hear directly from the source.
Sure. Hi again, Tom. You know, from what my understanding is that the Shakers believe that every day was Thanksgiving and to be thankful for every day. That said, they did observe Thanksgiving. Of course, you know, Lincoln sort of proclaimed Thanksgiving a holiday in 1863, and they did have special feasts. Many times we've seen in journals and diaries that they, rather than turkeys, they had chickens. But for instance, Irving Greenwood, we're so lucky to have many of the diaries that some of the Canterbury Shakers kept. And Irving Greenwood wrote in 1903 that 10 turkeys were purchased at 28 cents a pound for Thanksgiving. And in the 1906 journal entry, there were 27 chickens purchased and that they would fatten them up just before. And we have lots of recipes for signature dishes, signature Thanksgiving dishes. Granny Smith apple pie with rose water was a favorite. And I know that they had a custard pie, Sister Ethel's deep dish custard pie. So, yes, they did celebrate. But I also understand that a lot of Thanksgiving, especially earlier, was considered a day of literal house cleaning, where they did a lot of manual labor, and, you know, the Shakers are known for being spotlessly clean. So that
wow.
might be.
So we've evolved from becoming spotless cleaners to watching football or whatever on Thanksgiving. Well, anyway, but that's good. And then, you know, I was in preparing for the interview, I was reading all the material you put together for sort of their Christmas holiday tradition. So why don't we talk about that? But one thing I was really interested in was that, you know, even in the 1800s, there were some winters where there was, you know, little snow. So we, I'm into cross-country skiing, and some of my athletic friends say, oh, my God, it's so hard to have cross-country skiing because, like, there's so many winters. It seems like lately there's so many winters, you know, where there's no snow. And then I was reading all the stuff that you put together, and they were a lot of the diaries, they were, like, fascinated about the winter, like when they had a lot of snow, and then some winters hardly any snow. So I guess that's been going on for a long time.
I noticed that as well, Tom. Yeah, it has been going on. And you mentioned cross-country skiing. I really want to emphasize that on some of our tours. Our trails. We have some great, great trails here, and we actually have a sort of volunteer trail group, and we're going to be getting better signage, and we want to do more snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, because it is just so pristine here.
Yeah, I definitely play that up, because I know a lot of my cross-country friends, like Tom Walton and others, have been struggling the past few years with so many, you know, races canceled and so many just non-opportunities because of the lack of snow. So I would definitely promote that. So tell us about upcoming. So the next couple of weeks between December 9th and 20th, you have something called a Magical Winter Journey. So tell us what that's all about.
Sure. One of our board members actually grew up with this in another state, and as a young child, she remembers this going through a sort of winter wonderland maze. And we decided to recreate this in our North Shop barn. And one reason this is so appealing, and I think it's going to be so festive and such a welcome holiday event, is because the North Shop barn has four big barn doors. So that'll be open, and as far as COVID, there'll be lots of air circulating. It'll almost be like outdoors. Everybody will have to keep their coats on through this. But we envision this sort of magical journey where youth and adults, anyone, can enter through a sort of trompe-l'oeil wardrobe and proceed through this painted snowy forest with artist-created vignettes, and we'll have an electric train display, a Shaker Christmas, a treasure hunt, an elf treasure hunt, and a whole lot of snow and music. We have some special effect snow to come. We'll also be showcasing that wonderful classic, The Snowman, the Raymond Briggs film. It's really a special and was a favorite of my own children. It's because there's no talking in it, but it's all done through visuals and music, and we'll highlight that on one of the sides of our buildings, and we'll have lots of hot chocolate and, you know, warm goodies for everyone, too.
Wow, that sounds exciting. Between that and cross-country skiing, I'm hoping that we're going to get some people out your way in December. This is great.
I hope so, too, and I hope there's lots of snow. You know, it was my first year in New Hampshire, really, with the winter season coming in February. And there was snow here, but by March, a lot of it disappeared, right?
Right.
So I hope we do get more.
That'd be great. So it's shakers.org, and the holiday celebration, A Magical Winter Journey, is between December 9th and 20th, and sounds like a lot of fun. And again, if I could get all of the citizens listening to this to become members, it would be great. So tell us, you talked about how the Shakers did, albeit maybe with chickens as opposed to turkeys, did celebrate Thanksgiving. What was their, how did they celebrate Christmas in their own way?
Well, it changed a lot over the years. Remember, they were here from 1792 to 1992. And of course, more recently, we have a lot more written down and documents to attest to sort of a lot of their Victorian Christmases. And Victorian, in a large sense, would have been late 19th century, but it really came to the Shakers in the early 20th century. And they decorated, and there was food, but it was also a day to, it's written over and over that it was a day to make amends, to reconcile any sins, and to ask for forgiveness. But, you know, the Shakers were all about inclusion and gender equality, and they had these values that they brought about and just emphasized again and again over Christmas, and giving back to the poor. I've read that they always had baskets and prepared gifts of food and candy for others not as fortunate in the community.
And I think that's one of the, I'm so glad you mentioned all these points in terms of gender equality and inclusion and giving back to the, you know, to the poor. And as I mentioned earlier, they were Shakers were really to some extent way ahead of their time in terms of, you know, innovation and so forth. So when you were taking the position, did you study up on sort of the Canterbury Shaker Village history and the Shakers? And I know that when I first got involved, you know, many years ago, and as you know, one of my colleagues, Connie Roy Jakowski, has been very involved as well, and other people like Amanda Osmer have kept me involved, and of course with the cross country road race there as well. I'm always impressed when I do my homework and, you know, learn about the traditions of the Shakers. They were actually a pretty impressive people, and as you point out, in terms of values of equality and inclusion, probably could use a dose of that in today's world.
It's very relatable today, very relevant to all of us, the way they lived and their priorities for caring for each other. To answer your first question, sure. When I first got this job, boy, I couldn't buy books fast enough. I have quite a collection now. And, of course, at first I immersed myself and I've eased up a little bit, but they're always at the ready. I'd also just like to point out that thank you to Northeast Delta Dental for being a sponsor of this magical journey event too, and we have a couple other sponsors too, and some in the wings. We're waiting to hear back on.
Well, we're so happy to do it, and we're so happy that you have so much energy for the Shaker Village. Really, thank you for bringing your talents to New Hampshire and caring for it and being such a good steward for this. As you say, this sort of, you know, paradise on earth.
Well, thank you, Tom. I love this state. I have to tell you, I am loving living here. And where have I been? It's pretty great here. So you're all pretty lucky, but we do need to honor this wonderful treasure. And it's just, I can't say enough good things about it. It's pretty special, and I feel honored and very fortunate to be here.
And we're lucky to have you. So the website is shakers.org. So now that Thanksgiving has come and gone, we're up and coming. We have the magical winter journey, December 9th through the 20th, and you won't want to miss that. And then my cross country friends, there's some great cross-country skiing. And again, we always can use members, so shakers.org or right on there, become a member. Corporate sponsors, we could use more companies like Delta Dental, you know, sponsoring. So let's understand we have this jewel right here, 20 minutes from Concord. So, Leslie, thank you for joining me this weekend.
You bet. Thank you.
And I hope to see you out there at my cross-country skis.
You and me both.
Okay. Thanks for sticking with
okay,
it here. This
Tom,
is awesome.
Take care.